Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Okay, so I was asked to do this topic about music because there's some confusion around music and how it affects our children and where it comes from. So we just want to talk about, in general, what music is. And then we're going to talk about how music is a godly thing, but also how the world is twisted into something that's not godly. So I'd like to give credence first to Abuna Joseph, who was supposed to do this, but he's made me do it, so because apparently he's in another state or something. He's in Wagga Wagga. All right. So one thing we need to establish is the children themselves. You're all parents, and you've all, most of you are parents, and you've got kids. You know the garbage in, garbage out mentality. So what happens is, if I put garbage into my children, garbage comes out of my children. So an example that was given to me when I was a child as a Sunday school kid, if I watch videos with a lot of violence and swearing in it, when I'm in a desperate situation, like a very desperate situation, not necessarily a day-to-day situation, I'll grab for the closest thing that I know that I've been filling my mind with. So garbage in, if I put garbage into my children, garbage comes out. I'm not saying music is garbage under no circumstances. That's just a general principle about all things to do with kids. So the reason why we mention the garbage in, garbage out thing is there was a study done about 30 years ago by a woman called Dorothy Retallack, right? What she did was she took two sets of plants, same sets of plants, and she played particular music to each of these plants. She played classical music to one of the plants, and the plant actually grew. It grew and thrived towards the music. So it was like the sunlight. She played very heavy music to the other plant, and the plant actually grew away and withered down. So music has an impact on society and on us in not only a physical way by being noisy, but also in a spiritual way. It can affect us in a spiritual way. So the physical element of that would be like nervous system, my ears, my eyes, like visual stimulation. And you know, the spiritual way is what it does to me and how I feel about particular things such as God and my family and other things. All right, so let's move to the purpose of music. So we've established two things. One is garbage in, garbage out. Two is a test was done with music. Good music brings out good things. Bad music can make you either recoil away from the bad music or become bad yourself. So let's talk about the purpose of music. The purpose of music, can someone tell me, like I'm not going to keep this as just me talking. Can someone tell me what they believe the purpose of music is? What do you believe the purpose of music is? To relax is another, is one of the purposes.
It's a need, actually, for the human. The human actually needs music. The same way that eating and drinking.
Yep. There's a requirement for us to have music in our lives, is what my good friend at the front here is saying. Anyone else want to tell me, why is there a need for music? Entertainment. So we can be entertained. But not one of you has said, and I've only really got three answers, two outside and one me, not one of you has said praising God. So what I want to try and establish here about music is like anything else that's been created by God. So music is not something that's been created by anyone bad. God created everything and he created it to be good. When he said, I created this and I created it to be good, and he was happy with it. So music was created by God to be used for the glory of God. Just like when I was just talking to one of the youth today, they were saying to me, I'm doing a talk about relationships. What can I say to the kids? And I'll say, look, be very strict about the relationship, but talk about the glory of God. Relationships were created to show the glory of God. How? When a man and a woman get married, what comes out of that? Children. Children are a part of the glory of God. We're seeing creation happen again as part of the glory of God. But when a relationship happens out of wedlock and the baby is born, from an unmarried couple, is that the will of God? No. But is it the glory of God? Yes. The birth of that child is the glory of God. So, dragging it back to music, what the devil does is he takes what God has created and he twists it a little bit to make it like what God created, but he corrupts it. So that's the problem that we have with everything in the world, is that everything was created to be good, but the devil takes it and corrupts it to be bad. The purpose of music, coming back to music, was to praise God. For entertainment, yes. To occupy myself, yes. But to praise God, the main objective. How do I know this? I have examples in the Bible. Who was the biggest musician in the Bible? Can someone tell me? Sorry? King David. He played the harp. He sang. He danced to singing. He wrote 150 songs. So the man is a very prolific musician. And he played instruments. And he wrote things to be played to instruments, not to be just read. So the other part of that, and you probably read it on the slide, is the effect of music that music can have on me is a good effect. Why? If I'm tormented and I listen to something positive, it can actually soothe my soul. And this is what David did to Saul. What Saul did is he hated David and he was tormented by the fact that he was so jealous. But the object of his jealousy actually helped soothe him by playing music. You see the power of music? The music actually soothes Saul's heart. Any questions about that at all, and to do the purpose of music? No? So, in other uses of music, so I used to be in the army a long time ago, in the army reserves. We had a band in the army. I didn't understand why. Like, the army had a band. Can someone tell me why an army had a band? No? Sorry. To help with morale, that's one thing. But also, a very strange thing would happen in World War I and World War II, and actually in the Old Testament as well, a lot of the wars that happened in the Old Testament. The band would come and play to encourage the men to fight. It would give them, they would play nationalistic songs, like for us, obviously, in Australia, they'd play Advance Australia Fair or whatever the song was, to make them feel like they were fighting for their country. So it creates a feeling of pride and a feeling of like a noble feeling about what I'm doing. So music had an effect on the soldiers, which would make them not afraid. They'd obviously be afraid, but it would cover their fear and give them the ability to fight. So music in itself, as a purpose in this situation, was used positively. And this is just recently in the last century. But if you go back to the Old Testament, music was also used to do what? Do you remember how Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho? What did he do? He used music. What they did is they walked around the walls of Jericho and blew trumpets and played music, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. A use of music to actually fight a battle. Not to encourage men to fight a battle, but to actually fight the battle. So once again, a positive use of music. The idea of giving you these little morsels is to make you understand that music is not a bad thing. It was created by God to be good. Oh, the other thing too, one really important one, New Testament. When St. Paul was in jail, he encouraged who? He encouraged the jailers and the fellow inmates to also sing music, sing hymns. They sang to the Lord and they danced. I had a Jewish friend, I'll just tell you a story. I had a Jewish friend who loved to talk to me about the Old Testament, because he really couldn't talk to me about the New Testament. It was a bit difficult for him to talk about Christ and everything. But we spoke about the Old Testament a lot. He said to me, we were talking about Joseph and how Joseph would have felt in jail. So he was in jail for a long period of time. Number one, he was exiled by being thrown in the pit. He was then Potiphar's helpmate and then jailed incorrectly. Now, this Jew, a very nice guy, his name is Alon, A-L-O-N. He said to me, "Teros, do you know how Joshua got closer to God?" And I said, "How? He prayed?" He said, "No, he didn't just pray." He said, "Not only did he pray, but for 1 to 2 hours a day, he used to sing and dance in the jail. He would encourage the jailers and the people in jail." He said, "In our tradition, we would sing and dance. We have a festival to celebrate what Joseph did in jail. And it was a way of encouragement. So we believe that singing and dancing is very, very important in our culture. And to this day, the Jews still use singing and dancing as a very important part of their culture. And drinking, but that's okay. We'll talk about that. Some of us use that as well. So the point is that music was used in a positive way in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and throughout the history of man. Okay. So I had a question asked to me a while ago. Does it matter the style of music that I listen to or my children listen to? Is there a reason I should pick a particular style of music? Now, there's two answers to this. One is, I've been telling you the positive purposes for music and how it's been created and the purpose of it, of its creation. Right? Its creation was to be good. Now, if the style of music is affecting my personality and who I am because of the style, not the music, then yes, I must consider the style. But if I'm praising God and the style isn't affecting me, then I don't have to worry about the style. So it depends on what the subject of using that music is. If the using the music is to praise God, the style doesn't matter. But if the purpose of it to do that music is to become part of that stylistic atmosphere, then I'm not using it for the right purpose. So that's why there's two answers to the question. If my kids are praising God, singing secular Christian music based on a secular beat or whatever, but they're praising God, I'm praising God first and using the music to do it. But if I'm using the music to shape my style, like for instance, I wear my hat backwards now because everyone in that style of music wears their hats backwards, or I cover myself in tattoos because everyone in that music, then I shouldn't be following that style because I'm not doing it for a godly purpose. Does that make sense? Does anyone have any questions about that? No? Okay. So there's nowhere in the Bible that says a style of music is a particular, like, must be listened to. A particular style of music should be listened to. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that. Hello. So, is there anywhere in the Bible that you know that says what kind of instruments we can use? Because some people have come to me and said, "Oh, but you know, music is good if we don't use percussion type instruments." Let's leave her, she's fine. No, leave her. Hello. She's singing, it's good. It's part of music. La 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 la. It's sad. She was more entertaining than I was. So, nowhere in the Bible does it say not to play stringed instruments. It actually says play stringed instruments and harps, including guitars. Nowhere in the Bible does it say not to play drums, because it says use percussion. So drums are a form of percussion. Because some people have said to me, "Well, if the music has drums and a beat and a guitar in it, we shouldn't be listening to it." No, that's not right. If the music itself is not for the purpose of God, yes, I'm not going to listen to it. But if the music is for the purpose of worshiping God and it has drums and guitar and other things, I can listen to it. There's no reason for that. So once again, we need to focus on the purpose of using the music. If I'm using the music to style my lifestyle, and I'm using the music to not praise God, but to praise myself or to be in a particular trend or mode, then I shouldn't be listening to it. But if I'm doing it to praise God, there's no issue. So then the question leads to, well, what if the music is neutral? Like it's just soft and light and easy and I'm just listening to it to calm myself down. Well, yes, some music can be used for therapy, of course, but there's a purpose to it. It's therapeutic. But if I'm using music for listening to it for the sake of listening to it, then I'm getting no gain. I'm getting no gain from it. So it's best that I try and worship God while I'm listening to music, whatever the style is. So let me flip that the other way. We do tasbihah here all the time, right? We do tasbihah here all the time. Sometimes the guys come to tasbihah, like people say, oh, they must be holy because they do tasbihah. They know how to sing the tunes in Coptic and English. Sometimes they come here to do tasbihah because they want to show people that they know Coptic, not to praise God. So I can use the music that you think is holy to not be holy, just to serve myself, to make people think that I'm good at something, or to lead something to make me feel better. So I have to be objective, not subjective, right? I need to understand why I'm doing something, and I need to do it properly. I need to do it for the right reason. And if I'm not doing it for the right reason, to retrain myself to do it for the right reason. How do I do that with my children? Easy, I'll talk about that in a second. So, as I said before, nowhere in the Bible does it condemn any particular style of music. None. It doesn't even, although it doesn't mention drums, it mentions percussion in Ezra and in Psalms. In 150 we say praising with cymbals, praising with harps, praising with percussion, praising. So it's not hard for us to understand that David liked music and God loves music. So how then do I judge as a parent what's good for my family, good for my kids, and what's not good for my kids? Alright, it's not very hard to, this is actually a very practical thing. If I'm looking at the music from a it sounds good type attitude, then I'm not looking at the music from the right perspective. Because what I'm doing is that it sounds good and there's no purpose for it. But if I look at the lyrics as well and I try and understand the lyrics might be saying something that is neutral or against God. So I'll give you an example. There's a song by Billy Joel. Billy Joel is a very prolific musician. He's very nice music. I love his music. But he wrote a song about Catholic girls start much too late. What he's talking about is their sexual promiscuity. He's saying that, you know, they should be starting earlier to have sex. Now, that's not the right thing to sing. But the music, when you listen to the song, is very catchy. And I will catch myself singing that song going, what am I singing? I'm singing these words, but the tune is catchy, but I'm talking about Catholic girls need to start. So can you see how the music can trap me into saying the wrong thing, but not really meaning it, right? So that's how music is effective, how it's so effective that it can make me say the wrong thing and not really feel that I'm doing it, right? So the content of the lyrics is very, very important. Now, we say here in the talk, because we give this talk to the kids as well, by the way, so your children get this in year 7 or year 8, and they get it again in year 10 or 11. So they get this talk, but it's dumbed down, it's not as detailed. But we tell them, this is something we actually tell them, we say, kids, here's the purpose of all my life, right? I need to use Philippians 4:8. About music. So, finally, brothers, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So Philippians, so Paul's writing to the Philippians and he was saying to them, guys, if you have this attitude in everything, not just music, right, it's excellent to do that. So think about it with music. And we say this to the kids. Kids, the only person that can control what's going into your head or into your ears through your device, iPad, iPhone, whatever, or through your laptop or the radio, is you. Why? Because even your parents don't know what you're listening to. When you shove something in your ears, they're filling their ears with this music. And like I said, I use the simple Billy Joel example, and it's not that bad. Well, it is, but it's compared to the stuff that's out today, it's nowhere near as bad, right? So they're filling their minds with this. Eventually, they'll start believing it. So for us, it's important to reinforce what St. Paul was saying to the Philippians. Guys, is it noble? So we need to inspire nobility in our kids. So when we inspire nobility in our kids, they'll know what's right and wrong. not don't listen to that music, it's bad for you. When we do that, you just get a bad reaction. Does it inspire like truth? Does it inspire, is it right? Is it pure? Is it nice? Is it lovely? These are the things that we want to inspire in our kids, not only in music, but in everything. I'll tell you something about me personally. Thank God Dad's not here because I'll be in a lot of trouble. But I used to be in a heavy metal band when I was a kid. I was a lead singer for a heavy metal band, so it wasn't a great place to be. But I thought I was justified being there, and I justified my own right to be there. So we decided to go on tour. So touring for us was getting in a van that we hired and paid money for, and drove to Melbourne and did gigs in these, like did these shows in these divey places, disgusting places. And we had bands that were supporting us that were worse than us, and we really didn't sound that good anyway. But we thought we were famous because, you know, we were young and whatever. So we were going to Melbourne and around Melbourne, and then we're going to Adelaide, and then we're driving back to Queensland, right? So I was 17 at the time, and Dad couldn't stop me. I mean, my dad, he's a pretty tough man, but he knew he'd lost this battle. And he said, okay. So instead of my dad saying to me, you know, don't listen to the music you're singing, because he'd lost that battle, and don't act in a bad way, or, you know, don't be evil, my dad did something very clever, and it's something that I learned from my dad. He got one of his business cards, and it's literally about this big, and he wrote on the back of the business card, and he said, Tadros, my son, please be kind to everyone in the bus. Do not fight or cause fights, but be peaceful and try and create peace. He was giving me, in a very small sermon, and he wrote a lot more, like he said, you know, if someone's having an argument with you, back down, don't argue with them. Please stay safe, we'd love to see you come back. Now, he'd lost this battle with me. I mean, I had long hair and I had tattoos and he'd lost the battle. So then he gave me this card and he said, Tadros, all I want you to do is this. He gave me a piece of the Bible on the back of a card. So I was lost, gone, finished. It was over for me. That card, literally, I almost read it every second day because I was in a fight every day. You think being in that situation, I wasn't in a fight? Of course, we argued with people there. We argued with ourselves. We're stuck in a bus together. Every time I pull the card out, I go, I've got to be good to these people. I'll back down. I'll be nice. It made me the nice person. So what my father did is he didn't get the Bible and beat me in the head with it. He didn't tell me, you know, you're evil and you're going to hell. He used love. He used love to convince me to act in a Christian way, even in the pits of hell. And by the way, heavy metal is hell. Like, the people I was hanging out with had tattoos on their faces and had spent jail time, so they were not very nice people. So he was giving me a piece of love to take with me in that situation. And that's what we should do as parents. As parents, we should always be giving our kids love, okay, regardless of the situation. So my case was extreme. I was in a band. But your kids are just listening to music. They're just listening to it. So I show them love, and I show them the things that Philippians says. Because really, that's what my dad did. He said, act nobly, be truthful, do what's right, be admirable, praise God. So these are the things he gave me without giving me a Bible verse. So that's what we need to give our kids in action, not just in Bible verses. Any questions about that at all? And also, the lyrics, we should be trying to tell them, guys, if you're looking at the lyrics, don't just listen to the music because it sounds good, because, you know, it might tell you that Catholic girls start much too late or something silly like that. Listen to what the words are saying because they're going to impact you. All right, we'll skip some of these ones because they're not that important. Okay, so this is the wrong part. If there's nothing wrong with music, then what's wrong? So I don't know if you guys have seen Video Hits or MTV or any of those shows recently. I've got a TV set up that allows me to flick through the channels, and I don't even have to listen to the music. I can just see the pictures. And from the pictures, I know what they're depicting. I don't need to listen to the words. I don't need to listen to the music. What these kids do is the opposite. If I just look at the video and they just look at the video, they'll go, this is inappropriate. Why? Because there's women with hardly any clothes on doing provocative dancing and men demoralizing women on TV and making it normal. Like, that's what rap music and the rhythm and blues type thing does. There's other types of music where people are aggressive, and I don't have to listen to it. I just look at it. Visually, the stimulation I'm getting from it is a negative stimulation. Now, what these kids are doing is they're not doing that. They're studying, and they're putting that music in their ears, and they're getting the audible stimulation, not the visual. And then what closes the loop is when they see the visual and they link the audible. And that's how they spiral. So that's again why we go back to Philippians and say, is it noble? Is it good? Is it worthy? If it's not, it's not good to see. So the lyrics, the video clips. Now, that audible loop, that audible visual loop, has an impact on the kids. What it does is it creates, you know how in a developing mind, kids create links for memory and stuff. So they'll say things like, I know my house is number 46 because, my sister is 4 and my brother is 6. So 46 is where I live. Like, they do these links in their brains. We all do it. We all do it for the purposes of trying to remember stuff or whatever. The music does the same thing, but in a quiet way without us knowing it. It links things together, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves in a position where we didn't want to be, but music took us there. Why? Because it's so powerful. It is very powerful. So what do we do to try and not fight that, but to control that within our houses, is we try and provide alternative music. So if your kids like rhythm and blues, look for Christian rhythm and blues bands that have good lyrics, because they can link the music to the words, and they can do that link, that find that link, and that link's in their brain, and it's a positive link, not a negative link. If your kid likes rap, There's Lecrae, who is a Christian rapper, and there's a few others that also allow you to do it. So if your kid likes funk, same. You can find music that fits your children's appetite, that has a positive influence, not a negative one. I'm just going to quickly scroll through this. I spoke about heavy metal, because heavy metal is just really full on. It's actually one of the ones that's very difficult to it's one that's very, very, very difficult to find a positive message, because I was in a heavy metal band, and a lot of the stuff we used to do was, even if we were saying nice lyrics, we could make it sound aggressive. So we were saying, I love you, but it'd be like, I love you. So how can you say I love you in an aggressive tone and make it positive? You can't. So heavy metal is a very difficult one to find a positive Christian message in, but everything else you can. Rock, rhythm and blues, rap, all of it you can find, not Christian messages, Christian-focused music, right? The stuff that's non-Christian, you'll know, because they'll have scantily clad women, they'll have all that type of stuff in it. Okay, so alternatives in your household. So this is probably the last point that I'm going to mention. I've been listening to a station now for a very long time called 103.2. Hope 103.2 is a Christian radio station. They play Christian music mainly, and secular music that has a positive message. So what they do is they put a secular music at the top that's a positive message, so that it doesn't, so that they don't seem like they're pushing a Christian message, but they are. And they have Bible verses and discussions in the middle and all that type of stuff. So it's actually really good, and it's a positive way to do it. There are bands that I've been listening to for a very long time that suit my style of music. Bands such as Casting Crowns, Mercy Me, there's worship ones. Even the Hillsong stuff is fantastic. Like, the praise and worship of the Hillsong, I literally was sitting with a friend who was listening to Hillsong on a plane. And he's a Coptic, very deep Coptic Orthodox guy, and he started crying. And I looked at him, I said, what are you crying at? And he goes, I feel like I'm praying. I said, what are you talking about? He said, listen to this. I listened to it and I went, oh my gosh, it's so nice. Like, the words are beautiful, the music's beautiful, and it feels like I'm genuinely praying. So I'm not saying ditch the Coptic and go to Hillsong. I'm saying it's an alternative for your kids if they're in this situation where they're fighting you about what the type of music they listen to. Obviously, we have alternatives here. We have things such as Tasbeha. We have hymns and hymn classes. We have something going on for the teens at the moment for the year 7s and 8s. They meet in the altar here for the girls, and they do something called teen worship. The 9s and 10s, we go and meet them where they hang out in the back of the church, and they do teen worship there. So we just play it, and if they sing it, they sing it. If they don't sing it, we don't care. We just do it anyway, just to encourage them in the right direction. Now, as parents, please, the approach that my father took worked with me. I'm here today because he took that approach. That approach works. The other approach, which he tried before, you're bad, you're not going to make it, this, that, never works. It doesn't work. So when you do that positive and link it with stuff from the Bible without actually showing them that it's from the Bible, you act it, it works. It 100% works. I'm a product of that. All right. Okay, any questions at all? Yep.
It's really marvelous.
Yep.
However, it's the concern was, okay, fine, if we accepted the songs and the music and the stuff, but it's supposed to dancing.
Yep.
So I understand that it's dancing, it's improvisation, it's
yep.
Relate, you know, it's to be active and totally involved.
There's nothing wrong with dancing. David danced. Like, okay, there is, again, back to Philippians. If its purpose is to worship God, I have no issue with it. But if its purpose is to be scantily clad and show off to the boys or the girls that I can dance, not worth it. So the idea is that what is the focus of my dance? Because, you know, we have opera, we have classical dancing, we have whatever. What is the purpose of it? The purpose of it is if it's to glorify God, I have no issue. But there is dance. Like, he did it for the glory of God. So we've got to be very careful. He didn't dance just to show his people that he was a good dancer. He did it because he wanted to praise God in a way that he could physically do it. So, you know, actually when we're doing Tasbeha, the guys swing, the guys sway. They don't know they're doing it. Why they're doing it is because you can't not sway. You can't do it. You have a rhythmic beat and you're singing a song that's very nice and you're like... Dun, 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 dun. So there's nothing wrong with that. Now, to do with Hillsong, just a really quick one on Hillsong, I love what they do. I don't necessarily like how they do it. That's all. Because sometimes their shows are very produced and there's nothing wrong with production to the point where sometimes you lose the message of why you're doing it. Okay? Again, it doesn't take away from the music because the music's purpose was meant to praise God. But sometimes I'll see what happens in the background of those musicians and why they're doing it, and they're not really doing it for the glory of God. They're sometimes doing it for the glory of themselves. Again, their onus, why they're doing it, is what I should focus on. Why am I doing it? If I'm doing it to praise God, great. If I'm sitting in a plane listening to Hillsong to pray and I weep like a baby, that it's done. But if I listen to Hillsong because I like the beat and the music and I want to dress like them, not on. That's the fine line between style and, like, style for the purpose of praising God and style for the purpose of styling me. There's a difference. Okay? So, again, I'm not saying everything's acceptable. We've just got to be very, very careful. That's all, very careful.
Yeah. Because it's one of the things I mentioned during the discussion is that it's even King David who was dancing.
100%. For the glory of God,
yeah.
We danced in Africa so many times, my legs are still hurting from today. So, is there anything else? Any other questions? Thank you. Anything else? Anyone disagree with me? Even better. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.